Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. It's been a while since we did a podcast. This is our first one back off of summer vacay. We've got a familiar face, a friendly voice, and a good friend of mine. Visiting us today, Dr. Ashley Sink, Associate Professor at University Laverne's Masters in Athletic Training Program and currently practicing clinically in the industrial setting. Hey, Ash, how are you doing today? Excuse me, Dr. Sink, how are you doing today?
Welcome back, Eli. It's great to have you back.
Thank you.
To be back, too.
It's nice to be back. I feel good. Everything's going better now. So I know we transitioned over the summer from the high school setting. You were working with University of Laverne for a while, and then you changed clinically from a high school setting to an industrial setting. Can you give us a little taste of what you're doing now?
Yeah, of course. So there was an amazing opportunity to join the full-time faculty at University of Laverne. So I went ahead and jumped at that opportunity. So I teach core curriculum now, in addition to the previous practicum that I was teaching before, as well as working in the industrial setting. And that's a whole different animal in itself.
Amen. Jeez.
Getting to learn the whole OSHA aspect of clinical care and workman's comp cases has just been a whole different learning experience.
We've done a couple episodes on the industrial setting, and it's been educational for me as an athletic trainer and a clinician to find out the differences and how much they have to really follow OSHA guidelines on their part.
Absolutely. That in the new Prentice book, they actually have done extensive additions to the 18th edition in regards to the industrial setting, which is really cool to see.
I was just going to say, so many athletic trainers came out and never heard anything about industrial, not even in the book. So that's good to know that they're popping in the information and update.
Yes, exactly. They included it in our acute care and prevention classwork this year. So,
very nice, very nice. Lucky athletic training students. I'm glad I'm an old guy with gray hair that's already out. So, yeah. Although I keep, and this is one of the reasons we have you on there, I keep dabbling with that idea of potentially getting a doctorate for a couple of reasons. One, first off, and my wife knows this, I want to hear her call me Dr. Halleck. Now, she swears up and down, she won't call me Dr. Halleck. She's told me the word she would say next to doctor, and it's not very kind, but I get it. I understand. You know, secondly, it would just be, and it's totally personal, it would be nice to be represented as a doctor in the field that you love so much.
Absolutely. And I think that's definitely what was a driving force for me as well, in addition to being an advocate within the state of California, where athletic trainers are the least represented. And in addition to that, it's an advanced clinical degree, not just a PhD.
With that, and that really, let's just get into it. That really brings up a great point and something I teach in my class to my students, the differences between doctorate. When we say doctor, a lot of times, and I tell this to the kids, you think white coat, you think stethoscope, they're coming in And we say that word doctor. And then I said, do you know, though, your history professor at the university level is going to be a doctor as well? And they look at me, what? Yeah, do you want him in a white coat with a stethoscope coming at you? And they sit there going, well, what's the difference? So maybe let's start this. Can you explain the difference between the clinical doctorate in athletic training, which is the degree you have, and let's talk about also where you got it, but the difference, let's start there, between the clinical doctorate of athletic training and a PhD.
So that's actually a funny story. My dad was the one that first enlightened me to the topic. He went ahead and researched my degree to find out what I was actually graduating with to better understand it. He was the one that told me that.
Lovely, Dad.
Thanks, Dad. Mine is a post-professional advanced clinical degree, and it's actually above a PhD. So we're practicing clinicians, yes, and then PhD.
Did not know that. That's good to know. Okay.
Didn't know it either. Thanks, Dad. So I graduated from Moravian University with my doctorate in athletic training, a DAT. We have a mandatory 1 week in-person hands-on clinical application in addition to all of our studies for what we did throughout the whole year. We do research. It is research heavy, but we don't do a dissertation and then defend it.
Oh, now you're talking right there. That's been my fear. Mm-hmm. I don't mind defending anything. I'll defend ice against heat. I'm fine with that. But mm-hmm. Yeah, dissertation scares me.
Which is what I was concerned about too, which is what led me to going down, do I want a psych D? Do I want a DAT?
When you say psych D, not all our fans and listeners know what that is. So can you throw that out real quick?
So doctor in psychology, I wanted to do a concentration on sports performance, mental health awareness. But when looking at the hours that were required, in addition to how much we have to pay the clinician in order to sit down and do the mandatory hour work, it would have been exponentially costly towards me as an individual. So I pursued more of a DAT, and Moravian was awesome enough to customize the programming to what I wanted to cater my education to. It's not a set coursework as well. So I got to play around with different class styles, different focuses, and then my advanced studies. I wanted to originally do the certification in sports psychology as my concentration, but still saw that it was very, very costly to me. So I ended up doing a research project after all. But I've had plenty of friends that have done the tactical certification. A lot of them are in the military setting. And also within like the firefighter realm as well. So they learned how to do performance enhancement for that population in addition to their coursework. So it was very customizable to the individual.
Well, now that's very interesting. Now, if you don't mind me asking, and I know it varies from school to school, what is the approximate cost of a doctorate in athletic training? And I know you can only speak for Moravian. And if you could just give us a ballpark, I don't want it down to the penny, but knowing that if you had a different concentration, it could pop it up a little bit or drop it down.
It's still a set unit threshold in order to complete the graduation requirements. And I believe, if I remember correctly, it's about 2,000 a unit per take, which is still within a reasonable range for a doctoral degree.
Okay, got it.
And you can...
There it is. I just pulled it up. Yep, there you go. 2,055 per course. So yeah, you were right on the money, but bunch. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. And $2,055 per course.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum 18 courses required to graduate, see curriculum, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. And you can do it within the 2 years full-time or 7 years part-time.
Well, that's a nice range.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fact they give you up to 7 years to do that is good, because
mm-hmm.
it will take a while, especially for those of us who work full time. Yes. Yeah, because you did this while you were a full time athletic trainer at a Southern California high school.
Yes, in addition to other things.
Yeah, well, yeah, plus life, plus dabbling and yeah, teaching and
per diem and
oh yeah,
fun things.
So it all adds up, I'm sure.
Yes.
Very interesting. I love how And I didn't know this, so totally, you know, a lot of this is going to be new to me. I love how they will tweak it to what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
How did you, other than financial, choose exactly the direction of your specialty?
I like, personally, I do better in more of lab-based clinical application coursework. I'm not so much strong in the aspect of research, but I knew research was going to be a part of the foundation of the classwork. But it definitely challenged me to improve that weakness of mine. It's extremely beneficial, especially for the position that I hold now in regards to aiding students in research projects and PICO question development, paper publishing, all that fun stuff.
We were joking about this earlier in the year. We had a mutual friend as one of your professors. Would you like to give her a shout out real quick?
Oh, yes. Oh, Ellen Payne. It was my one of my professors.
Dr. Ellen Payne. How you doing, Ellen? Dr.
Ellen Payne.
Ellen is phenomenal. Love her. We've known her forever. She'll be on the show. We had her scheduled, and then I was unable to do it over the summer. So, Ellen, we're going to get you on the show sometime soon. And maybe have a student come back and ask you questions for a change. How about that?
Oh, man, she would love that. She pushed through a mass casualty triage during
that'd be so fun.
It was so fun. I loved her classes. They were the best.
Now, when you say, again, mass casualty triage, not all of our listeners are in healthcare. Can you explain what that is a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So during our summer institute, we were paired up into two teams, and we were given a scenario where there was a natural disaster, an earthquake, causing scaffolding of the stadium stands to fall, and there were four patients. And so we had to approach the scene, radio back for supplies based on the vitals that we're presenting, and treat appropriately based on who might have been deceased already, who was still viable by age, and then provide proper rescue techniques. And it was all evaluated. And we did all these on her master's students from Moravian. So it was so much fun. It was the last day, I believe, and we had a blast.
Well, see, I'm kind of that kind of mentality too. I love triage. I love trauma. Put me in that situation. That's why I love working football. You never know what's going to happen or what kind of injury. Same thing with, I know last year you did a lot of hockey.
Yep.
Same thing there. A lot of triage. You never know what's going to happen. Fun, 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 fun.
Mm-hmm.
Personal opinion.
Same.
You know.
Emergency care is my bread and butter.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Love it. So what turned you on to the program that you ended up in?
I was tossing up two programs. I won't list the other one. The other one didn't seem as flexible. It was more of a rigid programming. And personally, I fell in love with the program director, Dr. Jennifer Ostrowski. And she was so kind and amazing. And I found out that she actually graduated with my program director from Laverne.
Oh, that's too funny. A small world.
Yes, they got their sports psychology degrees together. So
that's
like,
so cool.
Small, small, small world. She spoke amazing things about the program director. So I was like, you know what? There's such a small connection here. There's such a good recommendation. I'm going to go ahead and pursue this. And I like the fact that I don't have to do a dissertation.
Yeah, that's appealing to me. I'm looking at their website now just because of that alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So had a real good feel. It was a good fit. And that's what a lot of people have to look for when you're looking for some type of advanced degree, is the program that's going to fit.
Yes.
Whether it's financial, online, in person, and then getting to know who you're going to be learning from, because some people's style just, ugh.
Yeah. I like a very passionate, hands-on instructor. That's just my personal preference. Some people might like more logical individuals. There's a mix of all of those types within the doctoral program. They're super flexible with our schedules as professionals, which is monumental to me.
They so were, important as a professional. Yeah.
Yeah. So they understood if we had a game, we had to go work. I was one of the only people on the West Coast my first year, and then there were two of us my second year, I believe. So they're very accommodating with the time change in addition to being a working professional.
That's very nice. I mean, let's face it, so many of us that are going and thinking about our doctorate program, it's not like we're hopping straight out of our master's degree right into our doctorate. We got to work. We got to make some money. We got to pay that master's degree back. Granted, I'm old, so it was a bachelor's back then, but those young men, young women coming out, whomever's coming out, they owe a little money. They got to work. Can't just keep taking loans out. I mean, I guess you could, but at some point you got to pay it all back.
That
Yikes.
and they help you build your network. They always send us job postings for professor positions, in addition to like higher collegiate athletics, which is really awesome as well.
You know what? And that's a word that comes up so often. Network, network, network. You're only as good as your network. So true. So true. So you decide DAT versus PhD. And you said something earlier. I had no idea a clinical doctorate was considered higher than a PhD. Very intriguing, very interesting. I probably said that wrong for the last 27 years as I taught. Had no idea. My understanding beforehand is that a clinical doctorate, now we've got lots of different doctorates out there clinically, and I'm going to say a few. You might not like one of them, I say. So we have a clinical doctorate in physical therapy. We have a clinical doctorate as a chiropractor. We have other clinical doctorates that we see in sports med quite often. I just pick on those two. So adding a DAT really makes sense with those other two that I just mentioned, because we all kind of play in the same sandbox. But my understanding in the beginning, and why I've kind of leaned more to the DAT, is it's more applied clinically than research heavy. And I've heard you say that. And was that really the deciding factor? I know you mentioned it a couple times of going DAT versus PhD.
I feel I had more of an imposter syndrome going on to where I looked at a dissertation and I was very intimidated by it. I knew I could do it. I knew I could persevere. That's just the type of person I am. But I found an option where I was like, I can excel really well in this. Let's go down this avenue instead.
How has having a DAT, and I keep calling it a DAT, doctorate in athletic training, your clinical doctorate, directly impacted your daily clinical practice now that you're in the industrial setting, let alone as a professor? We understand professionally as a professor how it impacts, but what about as a clinician?
It's actually been an interesting transition, to say the least. Like, certain things are happening that I'm like, really? But at the same time, I'm like, it's a little weird to still hear Dr. Singh. Can I get your opinion on this? And I'm like, whoa.
Whoa, and you turn around. Where, who, what? Oh,
I'm like,
that's
oh,
me.
I'm the
That's
doctor?
me. Got
Okay.
it. Yeah. Okay.
I've gotten the opportunity at the university. Because I got my doctorate, I have noticed that they hold me to a different standard because I have DR before my name in the industrial setting.
You stated at University of Laverne. One of the primary reasons you probably got the position was the DAT. Now, knowing that, I've heard a few times, and this is again, you're educating me and you're educating our listeners. My understanding is, at least I think it was in California, you have to have a certain amount of PhDs running a program and not just clinical. Is that true? And does that hamper somebody's ability with a DAT to potentially get a position? If that is true.
So I have a doctorate, therefore I can hold a full-time faculty position at a university teaching a master's level. That is the minimum requirement. It's required to have three certified athletic trainers working in a program. I know that if I didn't have my DAT, that I would be at an adjunct level just with multiple course loads in addition to the one that I was already teaching. That was what we were doing already moving forward. But because of the DAT, I was able to be hired on full time.
And yeah, that's also one of the reasons to get a doctorate degree is you can potentially teach future peers, which is kind of fun. As I'm an adjunct, I don't have my doctorate, I have my master's, but I've been an adjunct professor technically for 26 years through CSUN, although for the first, I think, 15, they didn't call it adjunct, they just called it a preceptor or clinical advisor or whatever. But it is so fun. And I don't want to say at my level, because it's clinical, we teach them here on campus and it's all hands-on. I love it. Giving back to the profession that I care about so much, obviously, duh. But at the same time, you're helping people learn how to take care of others. And there's something, I don't want to say spiritual about it, but you're very much giving of yourself to give to others at some point. And I find it very rewarding. Do you find it as rewarding being in the classroom setting as you did when you were just out clinically teaching these students?
Yeah, as you were saying, spiritual, I was thinking magical in my
Well, sometimes we hope for a little magic out on the field, but that's a different
Honestly,
story.
yeah, I have felt the exact same way. When I was added on as an adjunct, it never felt like I was going to work a day in my life. And I was like, maybe this is home. Maybe this is what I need to continue to pursue. This feels rewarding. I continue to help these individuals to navigate through the profession, how to build the network, how to apply to jobs, how to retake the BOC if need be. All those things have felt more rewarding in addition to like working clinically.
I would imagine you're getting to know them on such a one-on-one basis that it's personal. It's not just you have them for a couple months, you have them for 2 years, two and a half, depending on the program. And it really becomes personal. They become, I mean, I'm old, so I call them, they become my kids. They really do, and you really hope they thrive. And I'm sure you've, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure you feel the exact same way.
Yeah, you just want them to succeed. You want to do them justice and provide as much as you can in order to help them go off into the world.
Like any parent would,
Like
yeah.
any parent would.
There
Yes.
you go.
My
There
little
you
ducklings just.
exactly. I love that little ducklings. Oh, I miss ducklings. Yeah, this semester, as we were talking about, I don't have any ducklings. I'm so sad. From Laverne or Cal State Northridge, we're so bummed. But hopefully next semester we'll get a duckling or two and be able to mold them a little bit, because it just what I noticed, and please chime in. I realized that as clinically educating these future athletic trainers, it made me a better clinician. You agree with that?
I mean, I do better when I teach the material to other individuals. It's just going to build a sturdier foundation to build on top of. And they can teach me things. I'm forever a student too. What they might learn in class is something I probably didn't hear of 5 years ago. The field is constantly evolving, so I want to give them a running start.
Well, you have, that's for sure. That's awesome. Looking back, so you've been in the field a while. What are the primary pros and cons of earning that doctorate, clinical doctorate, you think, versus maybe the PhD for someone who's still practicing clinically and isn't sure if they're going to be maybe teaching at the college level?
I would definitely say if you're looking towards working in a faculty position where you're going to have to become a publicized clinician, doing more of that PhD might be a little bit more beneficial in regards to publication. You'll have to do, I believe it's three publications in 5 years to get tenure status at some of these universities. At my visiting level, I'm not required to do publications at this point in time. I have done them in my DAT, so I'm familiar with them, but I'm sure with a dissertation and then defending it, you would have a little bit more of a ground to stand on in order to publicize. with the deity being more clinical hands-on aspect, I feel like I got like a deeper understanding of a lot of the things that we currently do in regards to like advanced therapeutic techniques or different manual therapy techniques that I didn't typically see in my master's program. I also wanted to pursue it because we were during the COVID year, so our classroom was shut down for a majority of our educational experience. So I wanted a more dense, thorough explanation of a lot of things that I might not have typically have seen hands-on wise during those COVID years. So for me as a clinician, I wanted to be better and do better.
Now, where did you graduate from in your master's program? We never asked that.
I graduated from University of Laverne in 2021. So yeah,
Okay.
height of COVID, my
Ish.
first year shut down.
Yep.
All 17 of us were at one clinical site the second year, and there wasn't much patient care to go around for all of us. We were in conjunction with APU students as well, so we were all trying to do our clinical immersion all together, and it was a very rewarding experience. But I feel that with COVID, it definitely dampened some of our education in that aspect, especially being hands-on clinicians. So I just want to give myself a fighting chance to be able to do better and be better.
That's a great, great way to put it. Do better, be better, give yourself a fighting chance. I love that. Yeah, definitely challenging times for those of us that were working clinically, let alone being educated clinically. I couldn't imagine. Oh man, that must have been brutal. Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown. What about, let's shift gears just a tiny bit. Still focused on the DAT, excuse me, Doctorate in Athletic Training. Actually, I'm going to roll back just a little bit. You called out a organization that some people, again, who don't know athletic training well, you threw out three initials that, make all athletic trainers go, uh-oh, BOC.
Our boards, our BOC.
You said BOC. Can you give us a little explanation of what the BOC is and what the boards are?
Absolutely. So our boards of certification is our credentialing boards. We have to sit for a 4-hour examination. I believe it's 170, 165 questions in 4 hours.
You're a baby. Mine was like all day, so.
Yours was the dual
Was the old
hands-on.
school three exams, one written, 200 questions, one like 3 hour, what was it? Written
Hands-on.
simulation with a
Hands-on.
highlighter that the magic marker, and then you got called out of it for the hands-on portion. Ugh.
I
Yeah.
heard
Oh
things.
yeah. I'm old though. It's the gray in the chin, you can tell.
So now ours is the 170 question boards exam, sitting at a computer locked in for up to 4 hours. And passing that, we become a certified athletic trainer. Some don't pass first time. Some may have to take it two, maybe even three times. I was fortunate enough only have to take it once.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But some of us just need a couple more times, and that's okay.
Understand. Now, with that exam though, I mean, you got 175 questions, but it can be on pretty much damn anything in healthcare. What is a domain and what's the importance of that domain to the field of athletic training?
So our boards of certification, it's our credentialing board. We sit down for our exam. It's made up of five different domains. It can be any question from any one of the five. I know each exam kind of varies in a sense, but five domains are just our areas of focus for our profession. I know there's injury care and prevention and rehabilitation, in addition to
Got assessment, evaluation, diagnosis, critical incident management. I just love that one. And then healthcare admin and professional responsibility.
Yes, a mouthful.
Yeah, that's a lot to say. Now, it used to be six, so they combined a little bit, which is nice because it's not like our field changed. But in the old days when I was getting rolling, it was six. What edition are we on now? Edition, what did we say? Eight? Yeah, wow. I'm old.
I know my boards personally was heavy on post-surgical ACL repair, in addition to a lot of operational aspects like policies, procedures, and legality terms. But I know others have had more emergency care heavy with asthma protocol or weather, inclement weather policies.
I know I've had some students come in after the VOC exam and go, oh my God, it was so heavy on administration or so heavy on what was the other one that caught me off guard? Administration was one of the big ones. She's like, really? Wow. And I think, like you said, surgical or gen med, that was it. Heavy on gen med, general medicine. So those of you who aren't quite sure what we mean by gen med, primary care physician stuff. You know,
And
what?
infectious diseases like skin diseases and disorders, tinea pedis, all that fun stuff.
Ah, yeah, ringworm and yeah. Fun, fun, fun. Oh,
Impetigo.
yeah. Always fun. Okay, so that's good. That's what the BOC is. So they basically make sure we're smart enough to do what we're
Our
supposed to do.
job.
Yeah. Hopefully, our job.
Hopefully.
Hopefully we get hired. And you said DAT, so back to the DAT versus PhD, where you're located, you have to be published, or potentially at some point to be tenured 3 times. So published 3 times and I presume oh, 3 to 5 times.
3 publications in 5 years.
Okay, thank you very much. So three
Yes.
publications in 5 years. That's a lot of writing. And I would presume a journal or a book, correct?
I presume as well.
Okay, fair enough. Very important to note, my students at the high school level are just learning what journals are, that they can't be bought just at the checkout counter at Ralph's or Vaughn's, and what a system called ProQuest is and how you tease out good journals and good books. So good luck with that when you get there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Oof, I don't want to write that much.
I mean,
Yikes. But that's why I'm at the high school level. Although I could still do it if I wanted to.
yeah, you could.
Be good. Something to think
More
about.
time.
Woo! In all our free time. Let's do. Woo-hoo. All right, getting back to it. Good info so far. I'm learning so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How do you see the DAT, so doctor in athletic training, impacting the future of our field?
I've thought about this quite a bit because I know a lot of individuals were hesitant in regards to the master's transition. I don't know how long it would take in regards to transitioning to a doctoral level. I know occupational therapists just transitioned to a doctoral level as well within the recent years. But in regards to DAT affecting the field, I know that certain job postings, such as military setting, are looking for doctoral level individuals in addition to CSCS certification to be training our future forces.
Why do you think they're looking specifically for a DAT?
That I do not know.
Okay,
Personally, I'm
fair
not
enough.
within the military realm. I would definitely have to ask some of my classmates to clarify that. But I've looked at some of those job postings, especially within the Marine Corps. But it does say that preferred would be a doctoral level degree in addition to CSCS.
Well, I guess at that point, you're the highest clinical level you can be, so you can't really argue with that individual. Maybe that's it.
Performance,
Huh?
proficiency,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. Now, spinning off of that, what do you think has been, and I can think of several dozen that I've already set to rest with this interview. What have been some of the biggest misconceptions that you kind of have encountered about the doctorate in athletic training degree from either healthcare professionals or even athletic trainers? I mean, you've really put to bed for me some misconceptions, so I appreciate it. But what are some that you've come across that you've kind of helped other people understand?
I haven't typically been in regards to like questioning. No one's really questioned, more of like an educational standpoint, what my degree stands for. I know that when people introduce me via email, they've put PhD instead of DAT because they just assume if I'm a doctor working at a college level, I have a PhD. So I've seen that, but I haven't really experienced any questions, comments, just mostly like, hey, what does your degree stand for? What do you do with it? How did you get it? Where did you go? How much was it? I don't really have any fellow doctors asking. They're just like, oh, doctor, nice to meet you in that regards.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. All right. I mean, I know one of my biggest misconceptions was proven wrong by your dad. So the PhD level versus the DAT. And for the longest time, I understood, and that's, this is something I preach, is it's a clinical doctorate. So remember, it's a clinical doctorate. It's in the field of athletic training. That is the highest degree. You are the specialist. You are the end all be all in that profession. And my students look at me, sure, Mr. Halleck, whatever. But at the same time, that's important for us to know that there are different levels. When it comes down to it, though, and you're looking for that job and you want that job at either the high school, the college, or what have you, I tell them the biggest and most important thing is to be either, depending on the state, certified, licensed, or registered. Because without that, it doesn't matter what your degree is. So that's very important, is to make sure you're licensed, certified, or, well, registered, which we're getting there in California.
One step at a time.
One step at a time. But boy, did we have a win this past year. Thanks, Kai. Thank you, Nick Harvey. Thank you, everybody, for making that happen that was on the board in the CATA. So we appreciate all your hard work and getting what we got finally passed in the state. Big step. But you mentioned that this could help you push our profession.
Yes.
How so?
In regards to pushing our profession, I have, even when I entered the industrial setting, they're like, this is the doctor. Like, I know that my voice might carry a little bit more weight than previous years. And that's still a big responsibility, representing a program, representing a school, representing a profession in that regards, and continuing to practice ethically, morally, and holding myself to a high standard and being a representative of the profession as a whole. I have a big network too, and I have plenty of friends that I love to support in regards to the National Honor Society of Sports Medicine.
Shout out. And let's not forget the National High School Sports Medicine Association as well. So yes, shout out to them.
And continuing to provide mentorship to future generations so they can go out and continue to advocate. I've had several conversations with individuals in regards to advocating for higher pay in the state of California, in advocating for title protection, even though we already have it at a legality standpoint, but continuing to advocate in regards to jobs and job postings. I recently had a conversation that they were advocating for higher pay for a sports medicine director position, and that I was going to get the call next because I have a doctor in front of my name, but they're getting pushback in regards to low pay for a stipend for the position. And being able to say, we need to stand our ground now in order to continue to push forward the bar.
Couldn't agree with you more. And having title protection finally in California, you know, every other state has something else, which God bless them, I'm jealous, is the biggest first step that we've had success with in my career. And I've been doing this 28, 29 years. Although a few years ago, the NATA was kind enough to send me my congratulations on your 50th year. Apparently, everybody that was supposed to get 25 years got a 50-year pin. So I'm just holding on to it. Said, yeah, I've been an AT since I was five. But Yeah, it is so important to help our profession along, not just for us. I mean, I've got years left, but people like yourself or the ones that you're teaching and educating at the college level or me at the high school level who might move up. You know, we've got to create a better foundation and a better profession for them
We
that
have
make.
to walk so they can run.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, that I love that. Oh my God, I love that one. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to use it. Yep. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, that might be that. Gabe, title it. Slam, boom, make it happen. Love it. Love it. So let's talk opinions now. How'd you like it? How'd you like that dad? I
I
mean,
loved it.
did you really?
I
So
did.
you're a nerd just like me. What'd you
Yes.
love about it? Let's hear it.
Oh my goodness. With the DAT program, we got to learn from the individuals that wrote our textbooks and wrote our research papers directly, which was the coolest experience. Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
The coolest experience. Mind you, I had a humbling moment, story time.
We love stories. Let's hear it.
We were doing a research project in one of my either advanced anatomy classes or for my performing arts class. And I was reading off a research article and I pronounced the name incorrectly, not knowing it was my professor's research paper.
Oh,
Oh, so
no. That's
humbling
never
moment
good.
there.
Oh, oops. Yeah, we'll leave it right there. Just drop the mic, walk out, say sorry, just give me the F.
I did. And
Oh
then
boy.
I got a personal message from an individual and be like, you know, that's our professor, right? And I'm like, oh,
Oh,
yes, it is.
man.
Why wouldn't
Of course.
it
Of course. That's what it was. Yeah. Oh, bet you never got that one wrong again.
Nope, sure didn't see him all the
I'm sure they got a chuckle out of it because I'm
Yeah.
sure that name gets mispronounced all the time.
I'm sure if I did it's, yes, it's time.
Probably
Yes.
too funny. What's been one of the more rewarding parts about having your doctorate, you think?
Seeing the kids hear me call Dr. Sink and knowing that I'm a doctor in athletic training and teaching the future generations, and I know they look up to it. They're like, I want to be like you one day. And hearing kids randomly either reaching out to me via text or in person and be like, you've accomplished so much. I want to tread your path. I want to do those things that you did. That's one of the aha moments of it all.
I love using that phrase, aha moments. I love them. I love them. So really, you love the inspiring of others for the profession, looking towards the future. I love it. That's how I am.
Does it sound
I agree.
familiar?
Yeah. I mean, hey, let's face it. That's why we have the podcast, really. And again, back to Gabriel. It was his idea, and he bugged me for several years, and really educating others. And I've learned a ton every episode. I mean, there hasn't been an episode where I didn't go, aha, wow, didn't know that. Even today, multiple times you've set to bed things I didn't realize or I was wrong about. And this is fantastic. I love being educated, or at least thinking I'm being educated. So, you know,
Forever a student, right?
forever, forever and ever and ever, we will always be students. And the moment we stop, we become dinosaurs and we're extinct.
We're complacent.
Ah, I
Yeah.
strive not to be there. So, yep. What do you think, looking into the future, 10 years from now, what you going to be doing?
A great question. I definitely want to be where I am in regards to teaching the future generations, which means I probably will have to get publicized in the near future.
Well, let's get working. Let me know if you need help. We'll find somebody. Maybe
Yes.
I'll finally do it. Who knows?
Okay, co-authors.
Sure. I'll sucker in my staff. They just don't know it yet. They're sitting outside going, ha ha ha.
Yes. Hopefully. I know the Olympics are coming. Who knows what kind of opportunities are in tow with the Olympics being in
Yes,
town in a
yes,
couple
yes.
days. I know I've gotten a couple opportunities already passed my direction, so I'll continue working towards those. Continue being a mentor and a friend and helping grow organizations. Wink, wink.
Like that, NHSSM. Yep.
Yep.
NHSSMA.org, NHSSM.org. Yep. Yep.
Nationally.
Nationally.
Nationally. And yeah, maybe a family. I don't know.
Woo-woo. Tell you what, it is fun having a family, being an athletic trainer, bringing them on the sideline, bringing them to class when they're little and they're like, oh, mommy, daddy, you're cool. And then they become teens and you're not so cool. So it's really fun. It's a wonderful thing. Do you ever see yourself maybe running an MSAT program? That's Masters of Science in Athletic Training, for those of you who don't know. Could you see yourself maybe at one point being the director of a program somewhere?
Sure. I love a challenge.
You heard it here, Ellen.
No, Jennifer does a great job at Moravian, let's be real. And then Ellen, is Ellen the program director at the MSAT program?
I forget what her actual title is. Let's look it up real quick. I have them open.
I don't
So
really get
she
to
is
say
the
Ellen.
Ellen Payne, who I love so much. She, Associate Professor and Director of Clinical Education.
Oh, she's the
There we
clinical
go.
coordinator. There it is.
Yep. There
And
we
she also
go.
does the EMT program, I believe, as well.
Yes, yes. And boy, what a program with that. So
It's
cool.
phenomenal.
We've talked about it several times. It's so cool what she does and all the stuff she does with the
Oh,
ski
her ski
patrol.
patrol, and
Yeah.
she also works in the rigs to this
Yep.
day
Yep.
sometimes.
So cool. Inspiring.
Yeah, she can't step away from the
She
clinic.
will never step away.
Never step
Yeah,
away.
never ever. I know that feeling. Even if
Yep.
I would have hit that big, super gigantic lotto 1.9 billion, I wouldn't quit. I love this too much.
Same. I would
Yeah.
probably be bored too.
Yeah. I might do the podcast a little more, but I wouldn't stop being a clinician. I love it. Absolutely. It is who I am. Same with you.
Yes, it is who I am.
Yep. If you could sit people down right in front of you and give them some inspiring words to live by going into this profession, what would you say to those three or four young students sitting there in front of you thinking, yep, I'm gonna be an athletic trainer? What words of inspiration would you give them?
I would tell them to go get an opportunity to do some clinical observation hours, get some hands-on if that's allowed within that setting, and start building their clinical hour sheet in a sense, seeing if they want to do the profession, because it can be a lot at sometimes, and getting the full understanding before starting coursework, and then start researching in what programs you want to utilize, start building that network. Do well in school. Prepare the foundation really strong with your anatomy, physiology, biomechanics.
All the stuff that you got to do to become anything in healthcare. Very true. But you went
Yes.
back to one word that we hear in every episode: network, network, network.
Network, network,
Yeah.
network.
You're only as good as your network.
It could make or break you.
It can. I love my network. Ashley, you're one of them.
I love my
That's why I
network.
say that. I love my network. I love the people that I've met over the years. And I'm sure you feel the same way.
Absolutely. It's been a whirlwind of an adventure the past 5 years, and the network I've built, even my cohort, we s still hang out to this day. It's like a secondary family. You're with them every single day for 2 years.
So cool. Well, give you an idea. So my wife is a PT by background. Her cohort graduated 30, 35 years ago. We just had lunch with a bunch of them, or dinner with a bunch of them, Tuesday night. They still hang out. Yeah, you spend that kind of blood, sweat, and tears getting ready. They're family.
You're trauma bonded for life.
Trauma bonded. Oh, that's another quote. There we go. Maybe we title this episode Trauma Bonded. Love it. Love it. I'm jotting that one down. Trauma bonded.
Kids will be like, Mr. Halleck, what are you doing? Why are
Yep.
you calling this episode trauma bonded?
Oh, well, that's a great quote. Great quote. All right. Well, I know you have a day. I have a day. We've got stuff to do. We got to work. So I don't want to take too much of your time. But Dr. Ashley Sink, I want to say thank you for being my first interview back after a long summer off.
Yes.
and educating us on the difference between the doctorate in athletic training, the PhD, clinical settings, different settings for the doctorate, and just really how important it is to keep clinically or educationally moving forward.
Thanks for having me, Eli. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back, and thank you for being part of it. You have a great day. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll be talking again on Wrap It Up Sports Medicine More. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Hallett. It is produced by Gabriel Hallett. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Hallett Consulting, LLC.